Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Recently, I purchased a book just published which stated, quote, "A tremendous economic crash is about to destroy the entire financial structure of the United States. The end result will be a depression of a magnitude never before experienced in the nation." Well, now I'm not an economist, but the signs given in this book would indicate the dam could burst that would bring economic chaos to our country and to the world. Well, there is a danger that many are today so caught up in the prosperity of our times, they do not see this imminent judgment facing us. Then others are absorbed by religious revival, yet they fail to see the divine plan to rapture the church that is looking for our Lord's coming. As Leonard Ravenhill testifies, present-day preaching with its pale interpretation of divine truths causes us to mistake action for unction, commotion for creation, and rattles for revival. May God help us. May we awaken to the lateness of the hour. We may be facing God's final call. Well, we'll be back in just a moment to continue our discussion, but first,
here is today's news interview.
Our guest today, Leonard Ravenhill, originally from Leeds, England. Well, what do you consider the greatest need of the church today?
I think the greatest need of the church is repentance. And the greatest need in the church, of course, is revival, which I consider is the work of the Spirit in the church, and then evangelism is the work of the church in the world. The Great Commission is often classified as the last words of the Lord Jesus, but I think the last words of Jesus were to the church, repent, 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 over and over again in the book of the Revelation.
Mm-hmm. One final question. What is your evaluation of the future?
Well, without revival, I think the only alternative is revolution. This same question was asked by the editor of Decision magazine about a couple of years ago. It was asked of 20 so-called intellectuals in the country, and the great Quaker philosopher, Elton Trueblood, answered by saying, and he was thinking outside of the dimension of revival, that by the year 2000, the church will be a conscious minority surrounded by an arrogant militant paganism. But as I see it, brother, that's the situation we're in now. And when I think back, the church has always been a conscious minority surrounded by an arrogant militant paganism. We're no worse off, we're no better off, except that we've less time to do it. And I don't think the church is going to come into that state, really. I think that the future is as bright as all the promises of God.
Thank you. Our guest today, Leonard Ravenhill.
Here again is your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
In the year of 1831... a famous French historian, Alexis de Tocqueville, came to the United States at the request of the French government. While in this country, he made a study of our political and social institutions. In less than 10 years, he produced a world-famous 4-volume work entitled Democracy in America. In these volumes, he declared, quote, "I sought for the greatness, the genius of America in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers. It was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines, her vast world commerce, it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great, he noted, because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Robert Hunter McIntosh considered America the greatest country in the world. McIntosh was a quiet man who died April 19, 1972, at the age of 72, after living a simple life in a boarding house. In checking out his estate, it was discovered he left over $1 million to the land that he loved. U.S. Treasurer Romana Bonelis flew to Orlando, Florida to receive the check. She stated, "It isn't often that we see this kind of patriotism expressed freely and openly by a civilian today. We tend more to think of those who wear uniforms, who perform brave deeds, as being patriotic. We tend to forget that there are those who perform their own kind of heroic deeds quite silently." When accepting the check, Mrs. Bunalis declared, quote, "It is reassuring and heartwarming to know there was a man who assuredly paid taxes and other assessments willingly, yet still had enough faith and trust and devotion to his country that his small fortune be left to that country." But regardless of what we may think of the present condition of our nation today, let us not forget that America was founded by God-fearing men and women. Our forefathers came to this land not in search for gold, but to seek God and to serve him unmolested. It was on September 16, 1620, the Mayflower sailed from Plymouth, England. Upon arriving in this country at Plymouth Rock, the pilgrims made a covenant to live and work for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Now, this covenant shows our country was established for religious reasons, rather than for political, social, or economic purposes. So for that reason, we enjoy open churches and the privilege of broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is an opportunity denied people in other lands throughout the world. How good God has been to America. And could it be that America and the world has drifted from God and desperately needs to get back to him? General Lewis Walt, U.S. Marine Corps retired, has written, "The average citizen is not aware of the change from strength to weakness that has taken place in America." Dr. William Ward Ayer writes, "The United States is now the most immoral nation in history." We blush to make such a statement, but it is true. It shows the need for revival in our nation and throughout the world. Really, what is needed is a revival of repentance. When D.L. Moody went to England on his second evangelistic trip, he saw the need of emphasizing repentance because he did not see the results he had anticipated from his first trip. Said Moody, "Unless there was a turning away from known sin in the life and thought, there was little permanency of change." How is not that the revival we need today? A revival of repentance. Dr. Torrey, an associate of Moody, once declared, "If most church members understood what revival means, they would pray, 'Lord, keep us from having a revival.'" What might be the reason why we're not having a revival of repentance today? The late Dr. Nelson Bell once remarked, "Repentance no longer seems a major concern of preaching or of the church." The Watchman Examiner likewise notes, "The word repent is a little-known word used in fashionable religious circles." And so repentance seems to be a lost note in today's preaching. As W.E. Biederwolf once asked, "I wonder if we would take a poll of all of the preachers of the land, how long it would be since some of them preached a sermon on repentance. For except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, says the scriptures." Well, Vance Havner also comments on this lack of repentance preached today. Says Havner, "Today cheap grace is being preached and received by cheap faith, resulting in cheap Christians." Notes this famous Southern evangelist, "Worldliness is rampant in the church. The devil is not fighting Christians, he's joining them. He's not persecuting Christianity, he is professing it." And finally, we need a revival of repentance in our nation. 100 years ago, this country was in the grip of an economic depression. In those days, it was called a panic. Businesses were closing down and thousands of people were out of work. Reading the morning paper about the condition of the country was an office clerk by the name of Lanthier. Under the impact of all of the gloomy news, he got an inspiration. Why not invite all of his business acquaintances to his office at noon for prayer? Before his first meeting, he set out 20 chairs and might have given up, for he himself was the only one present. Alone, he prayed for a change to come to America. Well, the second day, a few friends joined him, and by the next day, all 20 chairs were filled. That was the beginning of the Fulton Street prayer meeting. Soon a similar meeting got underway on Wall Street, then on William Street, and on Broadway. The movement spread to Boston, Philadelphia, Denver, and other cities. The result was a great revival, with it a new upsurge in the moral and spiritual life of the nation. It was followed by an era of sound prosperity and progress. Ah, is not this the revival we need? America again faces an economic crisis. Again, we are seeing prayer cells springing up throughout the land. Prayer breakfasts, fellowship meetings are marked by a renewed interest in revival, a prayer for the outpouring of God's Spirit in this hour. Oh, what is needed is a turning back to God and repentance, as well as faith. As Sam Jones used to say, let us clean up ourselves, and then sinners will be converted. He urged Christians to make restitution, to confess slander, to forgive one another, to forsake worldliness, social drinking, gambling, other sins, to get right with the Lord. And so we need revival today, especially in view of our Lord's soon coming, which we believe is close at hand. Should we not heed this call to repentance, a call to turn from sin to trust the Savior, then be ready for His soon coming? For our Lord hath said, be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a podcast of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.